Believing always requires action. Believing, as it is defined in the Bible, is not merely a psychological thing. It's not head or heart knowledge, a matter of mental assent or acceptance, or verbal proclamation alone. It is an active thing. By necessity, believing involves action on our part. It's all about doing. Let me give you an example. If I placed a $50 note on a table right here, and I promise that you can have it, it's a gift, it's yours. If you pick it up, providing you pick it up, and providing you decide to do something about it. If you decide to do nothing, if you don't make any effort to take it, you will not have the $50 in your possession. You will not have received it. The promise is there, but you would fail to receive what is on offer if you simply done nothing about it. Even though you might well claim that you believe in that promise. Talk is cheap and it's ineffective on its own. In a similar way, Bible believing is not a spectator or an observer activity. It's a participating activity. True belief is always followed up by action on the part of the believer. So let's look at some classic examples in the Bible. Firstly, take the patriarch Abraham. We read in Romans 4 and verse 3, "For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness." The scriptures say that Abraham believed God. But how did he believe God? Did he just accept that there is a God? Was his belief merely mental assertion, acknowledgement, or just a belief in his heart? No. We read in Hebrews 11 and verse 8. "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went." He obeyed, he acted on God's calling. His belief in God's promises was demonstrated, was evident through his actions, through acting on God's promises. He became the father of the faithful. Abraham is the prototypical believer, the model of how one can please God. Another prime example is Noah. We read in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." The Bible tells us that Noah moved or acted in fear, that is, out of full respect for God, and he built an ark. He carried out a work that was prescribed by God. The result was the saving of his household. We note that he had to actually perform a work. God commanded him to build an ark. God didn't say, "Noah, don't do anything. Just sit around and believe in your heart that an ark will materialize." No, God required definite action. Likewise, God expects action on our part today. We are given the example of faithful men and women of old to teach us this very point. The testimony of Rahab the harlot provides us with further proof of the true believer acting on God's promises. We read in Hebrews 11 verse 31, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace." Rahab acted in faith. She admitted the spies of Israel into her home, preventing them from being caught, when she could have been killed for doing so. She put her life on the line. This was an act or work or action of pure faith. This is belief put into practice. This is belief demonstrated through deeds. Perhaps one of the most clear and dramatic graphic examples of belief and action is the Exodus, the children of Israel coming out of Egypt via the Red Sea. Did they psychologically come out? No. Did they theoretically come out of Egypt again? No. They walked out in practice via the parted Red Sea, and in type they were all baptized in the sea and in the cloud. We read in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 to 2. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. God parted the sea. He made the way possible. But the Israelites had to do the walking. They had to move forward. It required effort. Their effort was proof of their belief. There are many people today who simply do nothing, yet they claim to be genuine followers of Christ and his teachings. They claim to believe, but what kind of belief do they possess? The most common teaching today is that one just believes in their heart. There is no need to do anything else. This lack of action is supposedly based on the assumption, the false assumption, that doing anything that requires effort on our part would constitute earning one's own salvation, and therefore would be classed as our own works. This is totally unscriptural, and in fact, it's absolute nonsense. That one has to do nothing to receive eternal life is one of Satan's principal lies, and millions upon millions are falling for it. Satan surely wants us to do nothing. He wants us to be passive observers only. The Bible says that even the devils believe and tremble, yet they are not saved. They could be described as passive believers. The result of preaching a gospel in which people do nothing results in precisely what it starts out with, nothing. Nothing begets nothing. That is why miracles and wonders and signs are rare today, because of the rare exercise of real faith, real belief, real action, and the universal pandemic of unbelief that exists. Pseudo-belief is a lie, originated by Satan and perpetuated in the false gospels that are being spread around widely today. For instance, some people say that submitting to baptism in water is not necessary for salvation. They say this because they define baptism as a work. Yes, of course baptism is a work. It involves action. But the real question is, what kind of work is baptism in water? It is a work of faith. In other words, an act of faith. That is a demonstration of faith through action. It is an action or work that has been ordained by God. It is an ordinance of God. It's a commandment of God. God does not suggest baptism as a good idea. He commands it. It's an order. As we fully submit to God in baptism, he will work on and in us. We read in Colossians 2, verses 12 to 13, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. The Bible describes this as the operation, that is, the working of God. The only detailed record we have of the original church, how it began, what they preached, and how they operated, is in the book of Acts. It is called the book of Acts for a very specific and important reason. It is the book of actions. That is, it details the works of God demonstrated in operation, in action, through God's people, in his living church. Without such divinely appointed works or actions, how can we know who really believes? How can we determine who the true believers are? Talking about believing, claiming belief with no evidence is a contradiction in terms. Just talking about God or singing or even shouting about belief is useless on its own. We read in James 2 and verse 26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Faith, that is belief in God, without works, without action, is dead. It produces nothing. Now, some people will point out that the Bible tells us that Abraham, that great man of faith, was not justified by works, as we read in Romans 4 and verse 2. "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." Yet, when we turn to James 2 and verse 21, we read, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar?" Is this a contradiction? No, the Bible does not contradict itself. So how can these two statements be reconciled? Simple. These verses refer to different types of works. There are the works of men, and there are the works of God. There are the works of the law, and the works of faith. It should also be pointed out that the word translated works could equally and perhaps more appropriately be translated as actions. It is the Greek word ergon, a word that we derive the English word ergonomics from. Ergonomics is the scientific application of equipment design to maximize efficiency. Now, as far as the Bible is concerned, there are four different types of works. There are the works of the flesh, the works of the law, the works of faith, and the works of God. We need to be able to clearly distinguish between these different types of works and recognize the right kind of works that God prescribes for the true believers. The works of God are mighty wonders that require no human involvement, and this is exemplified by the creation of all things as recorded in the book of Genesis. The Bible reveals that Almighty God created all things by his power, and he did so alone. We read in Isaiah 44, verse 24, "Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." The works of the flesh are highlighted in Galatians 5, verses 19 through to 21. We're not going to go into any specific detail on these, apart from noting that they are the kinds of actions motivated through the carnal mind, including things like hatred, wrath, envy, strife, and so on. Man's endeavors to please God through man-made religion could also be described as coming under the general heading of works of the flesh, for they are the works of men without God's direction and approval. The works of the law refer to the ordinances under the Old Testament law of Moses. Galatians 2 verse 16 states that no man could be justified by the law because it is not possible for man to keep the law. The law was added to demonstrate man's inability to walk perfectly before God, and thus has the absolute need for a saviour. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to fulfil that need. The works of faith describe the actions that originate in personal belief and become evident through the actions of the believer. This is the works or actions that are being highlighted in the subject of this talk. In James 2, verse 18, we read, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Clearly, the genuine Bible-defined faith produces results borne out by actions. James emphasized that claiming faith without accompanying actions and results is dead. It does nothing. In James 2, verse 20 to 24, we read, But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. The words of Jesus recorded in John 14, verse 12, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Jesus promised that his believers would do the same and even greater works than he accomplished during his earthly ministry. The early church prayed for and experienced mighty works in the name of Jesus Christ. So what about today? Do the words of Christ and his promises no longer apply? Take a good look around at the state of the world today. We are in a total mess. We are spiritually bankrupt. The so-called churches are weak, insipid, and generally powerless. If ever there was a time when the mighty works of God are desperately needed, it is right now. The Bible encourages members of the church, that is the body of Christ, to earnestly contend, that is to struggle, for the faith once delivered unto the saints, as recorded in Jude, verse 3. Jesus alluded to the kind of conditions that would prevail at the time of his return. Towards the end of Luke 18, verse 8, we read, Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Indeed, this is a poignant question and one that every believer should seriously ask. Do we rest in a theoretical faith or the faith of Jesus Christ that brings results through action? So, to conclude, every example of Bible-defined belief that brings results involves action on the part of the believer. The notion of passive belief, belief without doing anything, is a contradiction in terms. Real belief provokes action, and this brings the God-specified results.